everyone. On behalf of Landmarks, what a great turnout for a wet night. Thank you for coming. This is just a personal journey tonight. We stumbled on Pat by reputation. She was referred as just a delightful speech about her life. She's been through rural Hastings on the edges with both farming and this pickle factory. So it's over to Pat. Thank you very much.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and a past staff member I've met here tonight. I'll begin my story when I was 26 years old, and at this time I had three children who were all at school. Before we shifted from a pig farm in Te Ati Road, we purchased a very old and run-down house beside the Awanui stream at Pakahu. There was a hole in the ground for a toilet and open drains, and all that was holding the house together was borer and the spider webs. We had a builder come in to make it livable, like a new roof to keep the rain out, and built on two bedrooms. We set about to make it a comfortable home, which we lived in happily for 20 years. This property had 4 acres of land and also some old sheds. On the land, we fenced the front paddocks with deer fencing, as we had a white pet goat that had been given to my son one Christmas by his aunt, who thought it was a cute present to give a little boy. But it was a life sentence for me. I can tell you that they're very expensive animals to keep and are a pest. As Nancy loved my roses, she devoured them all in one go, along with anything else that I could grow in the garden. I had saved up so long to buy some roses, and then after those, she turned attention to the clothesline and anything that was in her reach. She could even climb the fence. We kept 9 red deer and 1 sicca deer. One of the deer we reared from a baby fawn. I had to obtain a special formula from the vet to feed her with a bottle, as the wild deer need minerals in their diet that they would normally get in the wild. The fawn we reared from a baby grew at a great rate, and it was a novelty as she liked to come inside to be petted. That was okay when she was a baby, but when she grew up she was a nuisance, so another reason that we needed a deer fence. At Easter time, when the deer came into season, it was a particularly dangerous time. The stags would roar, and then in the spring the baby deer were born. Nature was at its greatest. To finish off the family, we had a Labrador puppy dog named Honey, and a large fat tabby cat called Mr. Tibbles, who was a born thief. His specialty was our workers' lunches. Lo and behold, if anyone forgot to shut the windows on their car, he would get in and have a great feed. Often I would have to supply extra lunches in emergencies, but he was a great hunter, and that saved him from lots of threats, what everyone would like to really do to him. We often had school trips when the Havelock schools came to visit. This was a novelty to the children, to get close up to pat the deer and the animals, bearing in mind that these animals are naturally wild, so that's another reason that we had to have the deer fencing. We purchased from a gentleman called Mr. Lay a pickled onion business. He had employed 4 ladies sitting on boxes in his backyard to peel onions by hand. As the property we had purchased had several sheds, we set about and had workmen come in and lay concrete floors, drains, stainless steel walls, ablution block, office block, and brought the buildings up to the health standards. We put in a new well for water and began a pickled onion business, which we named Pātuna Products, which in Māori means eel weir. We employed approximately 12 staff at first, and as the business grew, we employed up to 30 staff in the high season. Most of the staff were elderly ladies from Bridge Par, who were mostly Mormons, and as the business grew, we employed men to help with the heavy lifting as well. I got up at 6:30 every morning and prepared the school lunches and breakfast for the children. Then I set off at 7:30 to pick up a car full of work ladies, drop them off at work, and then saw my children to the bus by 8:10 to catch the school bus. I can tell you it was a rush. Then I was off again to pick up another load of ladies from town and back by 9-ish. Then I tidied the house, and by that time my husband had the factory all set up and working. These ladies were a pleasure to work with. Most of the ladies were past retirement age and were pleased to have a job peeling onions. They sat on high stools at a stainless steel table, piled high with onions. All wore uniforms, smocks, head covers, large rubber aprons and gumboots, rubber gloves, etc., all supplied. And of course, we all wore lots of socks in the winter to keep our feet warm. This was a wet factory with lots of running water. The tables were piled high with onions ready to peel. They had been put through a potato peeler first. We used a small peeler at first, but as we expanded, we purchased a commercial-sized one. The ladies were paid by the bucket, and some of them were very quick and very pleased with the wages they received. But one drawback to pickled onions was the smell. I don't know whether the onions were worse or the spiced vinegar. The smell was hard to get rid of. We tried every suggestion and old wives' tales we had ever heard about, but to no avail. Crying eyes? Well, that goes away after a few minutes if you stay with it. Never, never rub your eyes. I always wore gloves when I went out, especially to the theatre. All was well, till your hands warmed up. Oh, there was that smell again. The process for pickling onions. They were put through a potato peeler for about a minute to bruise the outer skin. Then they were top and tailed and you squeezed them and they popped out. You didn't have to sit and peel them like this. They were put in a brine in a 40-gallon plastic container and left for 24 hours in the brine. They were then drained and packed into jars filled with prepared cold spiced vinegar. We always pack the onions in a cold mixture as using hot tends to soften the onion. Our largest year of production was 90 tonnes, quite a lot of onions. We sourced our onions from local growers, for example, Ron Flowers, John Emerson, Edgar Lay, and then we went further afield to Piki Piki in Palmerston North, Pukekohe, Gisborne and Tauranga. These onions had been graded to a small size that was not used for export. Often the ladies would burst into song, and there were many great voices and talent amongst them. It was a very happy place to work. There was always lots of laughter and tales told about each other. One discussion we had was, what is a friend? Well, this discussion lasted a week, as there were so many different thoughts as to what friends should be, and each day they had a different angle. I was always included in their outings, a trip to Wellington to take a busload of children to see Parliament, a crossing the ferry to Picton, a picnic on the beach before we returned home. What a lot of excited children they were. Most of them had never been out of Hastings. And of course, we all had fish and chips on the way home. Another time, a women's busload of us went to Wellington to see the opera, Madame Butterfly. Gooch Parahi, a husband of one of the staff members, had the second lead role in this overseas show. We were all so excited attending the show. We all had new outfits to wear for the occasion, and we had our best smelly hand cream. Had dinner at a hotel, and a great time was had by all, until coming home at 11:30 up the Naranga Gorge, just out of Wellington, the bus got a puncture. So it was turn around, go back to Wellington, and search for a garage that could find us a tyre and fit it. We were able to park the bus in a big shed at the back of a garage off the street. And to entertain ourselves, we sorted ourselves into groups and had a concert, the stage being a back of a truck parked there. We finally started our journey back home, arriving at 6:30. All the while, I never heard any moans or groans about what had happened. Another time, I was included in a carload to go to Wellington to attend a football match. Sitting at the top of the Mallard stand on a windy day, not an idea of fun, I spent most of the time trying to work out how I was going to get off that grandstand after the match. Coming home after the match and having to sit at the side of the road while our driver had a sleep, I offered to drive, but he'd have none of it. I made a lot of friendships with these people. Some of them I got to know very well. I was always invited to weddings, funerals and special occasions that came by, but it was always back to work on Monday. After about 3 years producing pickled onions, the staff were asking if we could extend the season. so we decided to increase our products. At this time, we installed a large steam boiler to do the cooking, and this was done in large 40-gallon stainless steel steam vats. Also, we built a conveyor belt, which is great, as a rolling line to make handling of the glass jars easier. The ladies stood alongside the conveyor belt and filled the jars with onions, and then were filled with a vinegar mixture. At the end of that line was an automatic vacuum jar capper, which chugged away most of the day. I worked at the end of the line after the bottles were filled and washed, then I glued the labels on by hand, and there were thousands of them. I then packed them into cartons onto a pallet, and then we used a forklift to stack the cartons in another storage shed we had built just for that purpose. Learning to drive a forklift was a challenge. That took some time for me to conquer, as this machine had a mind of its own and wanted to go where it wanted, until I learned to take charge. My husband and I made a trip to Melbourne to see an automatic onion peeler, thinking that this would make the preparation of the onions easier. But this was a waste of time, as the peeler left a cut mark on every onion that didn't look good in the bottles. Another product we viewed, the onion skins were burnt off, and that was hopeless, so it was back to New Zealand to peeling by hand. About this time, we heard that the Pākehū Church was for sale, as it had not been used for many years. The people who'd purchased the property had no use for the church and wanted the site cleared. The local residents of Pākehū disposed of the contents, which included an old pedal organ, hanging lamps and kauri pews. We bought the building home and installed it as a storage for all our cartons and labels. I believe it today it is somewhere in Wakatū. The children love to have concerts there, as it still has some of the pews and a stage. So then we began bottling gherkins. The Gunn family grew the gherkins and delivered them daily during the season. They lived out at Fern Hill. The gherkins were also put in a peeler for a short time to get all the bumps and prickles off, topped and tailed, placed in large 40-gallon plastic barrels and brine, packed between layers of grape leaves. These were left for 3 weeks to go glassy, or rather ferment, and then were washed and we cooked them slightly, packed them into jars and filled them with hot spiced vinegar. We then produced cocktail gherkins. These cocktail gherkins were very small and were a bright green colour. They were very popular at that time. Today I don't think they would be. I remember to get this bright green we had to use blue food colouring. Yes, yellow and blue make green. And then gherkin and apple relish, followed by baby beetroot in large preserving jars. To get the beet the same size to fit the jars, we put them in a potato peeler till they were all the same size. And not to forget, we also made chow chow. We were able to purchase some equipment from Watties, who no longer found it useful. And then we began to produce crayfish soup, canned kiwi fruit and potato salad. We employed the help of a qualified control person with the recipes and made all the handling of the products assure that they were tasted and tested in a laboratory. About this time of expansion, my mother came to offer and help me in the house, and she made the morning teas. The morning teas were a great occasion. Should I add, she made cocoa and fruit drink and always produced scones and pikelets, and also her famous apple fritters on a cold day. The ladies could never thank Nana enough for her efforts. Canning kiwi fruit was a tricky one, as they required a special lined tin on account of the acid content. The ladies hand prepared them and had to wear gloves, and the acid wore down your skin and made it bleed. Some even had trouble doing the job with the gloves on. We made kiwi fruit pulp and supplied the ice cream makers. Another product was kiwi fruit jam. That was a tricky one, as kiwi fruit are difficult to get to a setting temperature. The one product that the staff liked best was the crayfish soup. We steamed boxes of crayfish bodies to cook them, then the ladies hand-picked the meat out to make the chowder. It was my job to do all the cooking. Occasionally the staff had crayfish sandwiches for lunch when we had too much processed for the day. Another product we made was potato salad. This was a popular product and sold well. After 20 years, a friend came to me to say he had found a can of our potato salad in his garage. So I invited he and his wife for dinner and we sampled it. It was still edible after 20 years, but I might add we only just sampled it. Also at this time, we started a night shift from 6 to 10 to pack all the products as there were no time in the day to fit it all in. Quite a few Havelock housewives came to earn extra pocket money. My husband and I travel around the North Island once a year to get orders for the products for the coming season and to place orders for glassware, cartons and vinegar. Often you would have to wait to see the manager or salesman, even if you had an appointment, and it took a lot of patience. But places like Foodstuffs, Woolworths and Co-op shops were great, as they would send us their orders through the year. We had all our labels designed and produced by Cliff Press, and I found them very agreeable to work with. Mind you, labels are not cheap to produce, as you need the skills of an artist, Keith Brazier, paper, colours, etc., all decided before they go to print. So next time you're at the supermarket, think of all the preparation and costs that goes into a product before it's on the shop shelf. We bought all our jars from New Zealand Glass Company in Penrose, Auckland, and they were backloaded to Havelock North by truckload by Rodier Nimmons. And the vinegar we purchased from DYC Dominion Use Company in Auckland. We had all our cartons produced here in Hastings, so that was one product we didn't have to transport to Havelock North. By this time, we had two salesmen selling our products around the North Island to all the supermarkets and delis. One in the Wellington area and the other covered the Auckland area. Our next door neighbour wanted to sell their property and offered it to us, so we gained another house and another 3 acres, which we planted in asparagus. We hired 2 ladies to come each morning to cut the asparagus. The land was so fertile that the asparagus seemed to grow behind them as they cut it. That was backbreaking work. At this time, my husband started catching eels. We had sent some samples to Germany and they were very interested in these. So we bought 3 large eel tanks and sunk a new bore on that property and used to store the eels. We had several fishermen who caught the eels for us. They were delivered to us in wet sacks, weighed and put into the tanks and held until a truck would come every week and take them away to Levin to be processed. I didn't take part in this project very much as I couldn't even look at an eel. Slimy things anyway, and I was too busy elsewhere. To end this ramble, I must tell you, at the end of each season, we would have a hangi and the factory concert on a Saturday evening, and all the workers would stack up the pallets for a stage and sing and dance and perform items. We supplied all the food, and Uncle John put a hangi down in the yard. On the last occasion, it rained and the hangi didn't cook. There was a lot of discussion about bad luck. I did my best to finish off the food in the oven and the party progressed. On the Monday, Auntie Mona, Uncle John's wife, had biked to town to see the film Dr. Zhivago. When she arrived home, she suffered a heart attack and she passed away out at the clothesline. It's bad luck if the hangi doesn't cook, so this is one of the most memorable funerals I've ever attended, with the Mormon choir singing several of the songs from that film. Lara's theme will always stay with me. On another occasion, my husband and I were asked to be witness at a wedding for a couple who worked for us, and a happy occasion that was, with the reception being at the Mayfair Hotel. In those days, that was the place to go. Now, to end my ramblings, I would like to add that I made many friends during this period of my life, and I treasured the friendships of them all. To this day, most of them passed away, leaving only, I was going to say 3, but 4 original staff still alive who greet me with the biggest hugs and kisses. In 1972, we sold the Partuna products to a company in Pukekohe, who continued producing our products for some years. This is a sketchy ramble of the second 20 years of my working life in a food factory. The next 20 years were so different, and that's a tale yet to be told. And thank you all for listening to me.
feel exhausted just listening. You had this quiet drive to just do more and more products, obviously.
Well, it just happened.
What years are we talking about?
From 72 on to about 89, 90.
And who did the office work?
One of the Maori ladies we had who was very good at office work. She'd worked for lawyers in town, so she took that work over. She did all our books.
How hard you must have worked over those years.
We did, yes.
What possessed you to go into crayfish? It was just out there somewhere. Eels? Well, no. You know, did you have somebody who used to go crayfish?
Well, I can't remember. Can you, Richard?
A lot of crayfish turned up there, I can tell you that. Bodies.
It was about the time that they started exporting crayfish tails and the bodies, yes. That's our first run there of the pickled onions with the first label on them.
I was impressed that you left them cold because I think we've all bought some onions and they've been heated, obviously, because they're too soft.
Yes. This is our gherkin relish. That was the cocktail gherkins. You remember in those days you used to buy bright green onions and bright red little cocktail onions? They were ghastly. There's our chow chow and our baby beet. The kiwi fruit we canned and the jam, as I say, that was hard to get to set, to get it just at a setting temperature. And this is the label after 20 years of the potato salad. And that's the rock lobster one.
I wish you could get it today. So your staff were very loyal, Pat?
Oh, they all became friends, really. Yes, yes, they were.
What's the label actually called?
Partuna Products. In Te Ate Road, do you know where the youth camp is? Well, just past there on that next bend on the right.
Back towards Bridge Power or towards Havelock?
Towards Pakapak down there, just before you get to the bridge on the right. The deer fences are still there, I believe.
Hey, we can't thank you enough. I just think that was just such a lovely journey. So the next 20 years is being written, is it, Pat?
No.
So thank you everyone for coming. Really thank you for your loyalty and coming along to the History Talks to hear these delightful stories of Hawke's Bay's history.